From beanies to carry bags and from shoes to caps, browse our shop now at tntradio.live. Live from Houston and simulcasting on the Voice of Texas, AM 700 KSEV. This is the Chris Salcedo Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Time to get back to work. It is the Tuesday that feels like a Monday. I know, off a holiday weekend. In the background,
August 19th.
You're hearing, well, that's Jenna Ellis in the morning.
Great to be with you, the queen of talk radio in America.
The left does not want to honor our freedom.
There you go. Jenna Ellis is an attorney, nationally syndicated host of the Jenna Ellis in the Morning Show. Host of Jenna Ellis Show on Salem Media as well. And we're going to be doing a simulcast with her, which is our habit every now and again to see what's on her mind.
Right from the beginning, I knew you. So,
and I'll give you, while her intro plays, I'll give you a little background. She and I are going to debate.
Well, good morning. I hope that everyone had a safe and restful Memorial Day weekend and came out of it more proud to be an American. And we're always very grateful to pause and reflect on the sacrifices that so many made so that we could enjoy freedom. And so as we move on to this week, we're talking about a couple of really big headlines that the long weekend brought, which include the Fiscal Responsibility Act and also the impeachment of Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton. And so this morning, right off the top, we're going to be simulcasting yet again on our airwaves as well as airwaves in Texas with my good friend Chris Salcedo, who I believe is there. Good morning, Chris.
Morning, Jenna. Nice to be with you. And something new has been added. Not only are we simulcasting on the networks you mentioned and the stations you mentioned, also on the TNT radio network worldwide. Our friends in Australia, friends in Europe, are also able to tune in and hear some of this very American debate that we're going to be having this morning. Because I gave them the folks a little bit of a tease as we are waiting for you that there's going to be one thing that you and I pretty much agree on, and there's going to be some debate on one of those topics. So I'm going to leave it up to you ladies first. Which one do you want to talk about first?
Oh, you know me. I'm the lawyer. Let's go straight to the debate. So let's talk about the Fiscal Responsibility Act, because I think that a lot of people, you know, we'll start nationally and then we'll go homeward to your home there in Texas. But, of course, you know, the Fiscal Responsibility Act is this debt ceiling crisis. And I think for a lot of us, the frustration here, from my perspective, is that Republicans don't control Congress fully. We have a slim majority in the House. We don't control the White House. And so I'm a realist when I'm looking at this. And I do think that Speaker Kevin McCarthy actually came away with a better deal than he could have, because he actually got the Democrats to negotiate. And here's why. There's a couple of things that, as much as, you know, the GOP, and I get this, is very frustrated, I do think that he stands firmly behind this, and he should, because it is stopping a lot of the out-of-control spending. They are going to claw back tens of billions in unspent COVID funds. Mm-hmm. And to me as well, some of the appropriations for what could be the new IRS agents, at least according to my understanding, that can actually be reappropriated. Those funds can be reappropriated by Congress, not to be spent on the IRS, but on things like border security and other things. So I think this was the best deal they were going to get.
Well, okay, first off, history shows that when the Democrats are completely in the minority, they get a lot better deals. When President Trump and the Senate and the House were in Republican hands, Democrats were being catered to and knelt to and had the nearest butt cheek kissed by establishment Republicans at every turn inside the legislature. So whenever Democrats are in the minority, they control one house, that doesn't seem to encumber them. And they seem to get far better deals and far more. By the way, when Republicans are fooling in charge, we're still spending more money than we're bringing in taxes. Now, as far as this deal is concerned, we went from a deal that was a modest proposal. It wasn't cuts. No matter what anybody tells you, it wasn't cuts. It was a reduction in the rate of spending over 10 years that would have resulted in $5 trillion fewer being overspent. It was a step in the right direction for an exchange of 1 year. 1 year of raising the debt ceiling, $1.5 trillion. Now, the new deal is this, folks. Not only do we not save any money, reduce any rate of spending, we freeze our level of spending next year at Joe Biden's already unacceptably high level. And then the year after that, there's a 1% increase, right? So we not only didn't get any reductions in the rate of spending, we actually either stayed flat or increased the rate of spending, which this government spends too much money as it is. As to the IRS agents, $20 billion was clawed back, but the 87,000 IRS agents with the $60 billion that are left will still be hired to target middle America. So that's why you're starting to see discussions online of a vacate the chair vote. There was one that was up on Twitter, Jenna, that was put up and then taken down that allegedly came from the Freedom Caucus. I'm not sure if that was a draft or ended up being bogus or what have you, but I can tell you the conservative movement isn't happy with the capitulation, because that's all Republicans know how to do is capitulate.
Well, and I agree with you, Chris, that historically, and I'm frustrated as much as you are, that when the GOP is in the minority, it seems like we consider only, hey, we didn't bend over backwards completely as a win. And when the Democrats are in the minority, they hold the line. And the reason for that, I think, is because the GOP just doesn't go in lockstep together. They just don't, like the Democrats do. And that's the reality. But I do think that it's unfair to suggest for some of these other, not what you're suggesting, but a lot of these people that are suggesting, you know, have a motion to vacate the chair and we need to go after Kevin McCarthy. And listen, I historically have not been the biggest fan of Kevin McCarthy, but I do think that he did a good job with what he had and the GOP slim majority that he had. And this is not at all as bad as it could have been. And I think there still are significant wins. And the issue here mainly is because you're only seeing what people are frustrated about with this bill, and you're not seeing what the actual wins are. And I don't think that a lot of people are seeing this in common, everyday language that people like me, that's, you know, not an economist, that, you know, this isn't really in my wheelhouse, that actually understands some of the wins here. Now, could we have had more? Possibly. But again, I'm looking at this being a realist, that if we don't get something through, then that would have been a complete and utter disaster. And for some of the people that are saying, well, then we just shouldn't have had a deal at all, and we just have to hold the line, vote no. Well, then, you know, you're not living in reality. These are the same people who are saying, you know, well, if Trump doesn't get the nomination, then I'm just not voting. So, fine, you're going to reelect Biden just because you don't have your preference in the nomination. That's not living in reality.
Well, Joe Biden sat on his duff for 90 days, and the Democrats sat on their duffs and did nothing. Because they wanted to continue their profligate spending. I have to reemphasize, not only did we not get a lot, we didn't get any reductions in spending, which, of course, is the driver of our inflation, which, you know, we're already approaching $1 trillion in interest alone on the debt. And right now, with the Republicans' blessings, Jenna, we are on track for $52 trillion in debt by the time we reach the next decade. So in a decade's time, the Republicans have put their stamp of approval, if this goes through, have put their stamp of approval on profligate, irresponsible, feckless, and yes, existential threat to the existence of the United States. I don't have to point out that it's economic theory, because it's happened in places like Spain, in places like Greece. This level of spending didn't need to be agreed to. We didn't turn the tide back down to a more a pro-American mode of spending, where the government actually spends the money we, the people, give it. We didn't do that. We continue to increase irresponsible spending. Now, let me pivot, because I know I'm looking at the clock, and I want to make sure, because I want to pick your legal brain on what's going on with the impeachment.
Let me say one last thing on that, though. I do think that this was a first step for Kevin McCarthy, because if they're limiting the top-line federal spending, and I agree with you, the whole, you know, hawkish kind of outlook on on American economy isn't going to be helpful in the long term. And we're just, I mean, there's no way. Eventually, we are going to implode if we have this kind of debt that we can't handle. But I think that this was a first step to at least limit the top line and then further negotiate from there, which I know doesn't sound, you know, as great of a win as we want.
Nope.
But again, I think that this was the best that we were going
to
do.
Well, don't forget, you know. And then McCarthy agreed to push it not to a one-year extension, to a two-year extension. So we've taken this out of the presidential discussion. Any Republican president who wanted to run on fiscal responsibility, Lord knows who that is, anybody wanted to run on that, guess what? That issue is off the table because we don't get to have the discussion for another 2 years, which this level of spending that this government has been doing is dangerous. It is dangerous, and we didn't need to accommodate it. We needed to reverse it. And we didn't do that. And I think you're right about one thing. This was a test for Kevin McCarthy, and I'm going to leave it up to the folks as to whether or not he passed. So let me pick that legal brain of yours if I can. The impeachment of Ken
Paxton.
Well, the impeachment of Ken Paxton in the Texas House, there's a government code 665.081 in Texas. I'm not sure how familiar you are with it. But basically what it says is you cannot consider or even do impeachment proceedings that result from activities that happened before the last election. The premise of that law or that government code being, hey, the people saw what was in the last election, they saw the charges that were put out, and they didn't believe it or they didn't think it was that big a deal, and they voted for this candidate anyway. So you can't launch an impeachment effort in the state of Texas on activities that happened before the last election, but that's precisely what the House did, and they didn't vote on all of the 20 articles of impeachment. They had one vote. It was all or nothing. So
it was basically an impeachment omnibus is what they're doing, which seems to be completely out of process. And I'm not as familiar as you are with that precise Texas code, but if that is the correct reading of the law, then, you know, this should be dismissed just on procedural grounds. And this is why fundamental fairness is always at the heart of why of fair and accurate laws and proceedings, so that you don't get a politicized process. But that's what all of this is about. And especially when Attorney General Ken Paxton said that the Speaker of the House should resign for that, you know, apparently, and I've seen the videos, and it really looks like he was openly drunk on the House floor.
Well, what we've been saying, just to be clear, Jenna, what we've been saying is the Speaker of the House was impaired in some way. We don't know on what substance he was impaired. I can't confirm that. I know there are photos circulating.
But I mean, I've seen the videos. It definitely looks like something's going on. And I think that you described it aptly to say, you know, whether it was alcohol, whether it was another substance, he certainly looks impaired, you know, just from an average citizen looking at it. You know, I think, you know, he has the demarcations of being visibly intoxicated.
Right.
So, you know, so that should be the focus of the investigation. But now we've pivoted toward saying, okay, well, or at least the rhinos in Texas have pivoted toward attacking Ken Paxton. And now with this totally sham impeachment, the thing that's so frustrating as well, apparently under procedure in Texas, is that now that the articles of impeachment have actually gone forward, Ken Paxton is now removed. He has his acting attorney general, and he's just waiting for the trial in the Senate. And so, I mean, when does that happen?
Here, August, no later than the first part of August. And, you know, the best case scenario, in my view, if the Senate looks at the law, looks at the statute, looks at the politics of all this, and the Democrats are crowing on Twitter. The Democrats are saying that impeachment is a political exercise, not a legal one. And on that, they're absolutely true. The impeachments of Trump were all political. There was nothing legally based in them. It was because these individuals were standing up to the status quo inside of the Uniparty, the Republicans and Democrats, whether it be Trump or whether it be Ken Paxton. And I've got to tell you, Jenna, and your audience, the long knives of the Republican Bush, Rove, Ann Richards establishment Republican Party. I know Ann Richards was a Democrat, but a lot of those Democrats flipped to become Republicans when the winds changed here in Texas so they could continue to be in elected office and ruin our lives. What you've got to know is they've had the long knives out for Ken Paxton since he won the attorney general job against their wishes. He didn't genuflect, didn't ask for their support. He didn't lay off Democrats the way he was supposed to. He has been suing Obama. He's been suing Biden to protect Texans. And the establishment Republicans, who are really Democrats in this state, can't handle that. They just don't like it. Republicans don't behave like that. It is up to the Democrats to behave like that. And that's why you see the long knives out for Ken Paxton.
Yeah, I agree. And Chris Salcedo, always great to join you. And, you know, this is just one of those other instances where impeachment should not be purely political. We shouldn't ever be abusing the process just to get political opponents out of office. This should be something that is based in law and fact. But we'll be right back with more here on Jenna Ellis in the Morning.
There she goes, folks. Jenna Ellis in the Morning, our simulcast here on the Chris Salcedo Show. Our telephone number is 281-558-5738, 281-558-KSEV. Yeah, a lot of things happened over the Memorial Day weekend while a lot of you slept and barbecued. I don't know any of them good, and I don't know that it's a coincidence that they all happened over the Memorial Day weekend when everybody was tuned out. Don't know if that was a coincidence either. Any thoughts from any of you? Paxton, the debt ceiling? 281-558-5738, 281-558-KSEV. You found your liberty-loving Latino. The Chris Salcedo Show on the Voice of Texas and TNT Radio.
You should hear what Charlie Robinson is talking about.
I was expressly told this last week from Joe Biden and Mayorkas that the number one threat inside the United States, forget inflation or China or the, you know, 6 million people coming across the southern border, all that stuff is nonsense. But the biggest threat to democracy is white supremacy and domestic terrorism. Steve, did you get the memo on that?
I have been subjected to a barrage of this nonsense. I just found out that waking up early is white supremacy. I've learned
how
that going to the gym or exercising is white supremacy. I know. My show is by default white supremacy, and I'm not even sure who to apologize to. Look, there's a writer's strike right now in Hollywood, so what they do is they move over to DC and they just start cranking out the exact same nonsense that they would have been putting out through whatever woke idiotic TV show or idiotic woke film that they were going to be putting out, but instead they're striking. So now we've got all of the ridiculous nonsense going on out of DC that has accelerated a little bit since those guys went on strike.
Charlie Robinson on today's News Talk Radio, TNT. A better business tip from TNT Radio. News Talk Radio listeners are some of the most active and involved listeners of any format. TNT Radio listeners rely on TNT Radio often as their primary source of information. They trust TNT Radio and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live.
Your daughter doesn't want to talk about why her room is a horrible mess. Your son doesn't want to talk about why he's wearing mismatching socks. Your spouse doesn't want to talk about their bad haircut. Families don't have to talk about everything, but they should talk to plan for an emergency. Pack basic supplies in a go bag, water, canned food, flashlights, batteries, medical supplies, IDs, and some cash. Talk about where you'll meet in case you lose one another. And of course, don't forget to pack the dog treats. Talk to your family and make an emergency plan. Go to nyc.gov/readyny or call 311 to make your family's emergency plan. Brought to you by New York City Emergency Management and the Ad Council.
What's the last thing you'd like to hear before you die? The voice of a loved one? Your favorite tune? The ocean? For some drivers on the A9, the last thing they ever heard was this. Over half of all deaths on the A9 involve a head-on collision. Think before you overtake. Visit a9road.info.
This is the Chris Salcedo Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Folks, welcome back. You got the Chris Salcedo Show. Glad you made it. For those of you who were not tuned in yesterday, we were live. We had a show yesterday, and of course, we honored our veterans. I came to the conclusion that this government, the government we're forced to endure, was not worthy of the sacrifices made by our fallen men and women in uniform. And I think it's time, with the behavior of the Texas House, with the behavior of the Bush Republicans, the Karl Rove Republicans inside of Texas, with the behavior of the Mitch McConnell Republicans on the federal level, the John Cornyn Republicans on the federal level, I think it's time that we addressed the Uniparty. As you all know, I have not been a Republican in going on seven. This is my seventh year of not being a Republican because I'm ashamed of how the Republican Party has conducted itself. I'm ashamed. Why would I want to associate with a bunch of people who don't believe the principles and don't act on the principles that they claim to have? Let me be plain. There's a platform that is set out in the Republican Party, which the vast majority of its members do not adhere to and do not live up to, and hell, don't even believe. And I can say that definitively by their actions. The Republican Party believes in limited constitutional government. How does prohibiting parents from having school choice, how does that fit into a limited government profile? It doesn't. It screams totalitarian, doesn't it? And that's why Charlie Guerin and Dade Phelan and 22 other Republicans voted in such a way with socialists, with Marxists. Now, not everybody puts business transactions above children's education. Harold Dutton is a Democrat, and he puts the education of minority children above left-wing politics. He's rare. The majority of his party, the socialists, don't do that. But there's one thing you can say about the socialist kids. They are unified. They, by and large, they are unified. And where Harold Dutton may draw the line at taking away a child's right to be properly educated, not indoctrinated with the LGBTQ, ABCDEFG, cultural Marxism, the hate whitey critical race theory Marxism, any mechanism they're delivering Marxism by, cultural Marxism, as opposed to economic Marxism. And it's, folks, it's real. Later this week, I'm going to have a guest on this program who's going to explain to you in frightening detail how many of you, show of hands, have been sitting there going, what the hell is going on in this country? It seems no matter where I turn, I can't go to a football game. I can't go to a baseball game. I can't go to the movies. I can't go anywhere to escape left-wing dumbassery. Why? It is because they have learned, our enemies have learned, that it's not just enough to pitch economic theory, collectivist economic theory. They need to wipe out the culture, because it was the culture that pushed back against the Soviet Union. We don't like slavery. But when they say slavery is the new equity, when they say equity is where it's at, you have to be equitable, which will necessitate all of the steps towards slavery. You're going to end up a slave at the end of it. But they couch it in such beautiful and wonderful terms. Equity. We don't call it the DIE program for nothing, kids. Diversity, inclusion, equity. It's all designed, whether you call it woke, whether you call it DIE, it's all designed to separate you from your rights. And some of you are, well, you know, why fight it? Why, you're pulling a Texas House, you're pulling a Mitch McConnell, you're pulling, in the debt ceiling deal, the House Republicans. Why fight it? All the energy in American politics right now is with those trying to destroy the United States of America, destroy Western civilization. I don't say that with pride. That's just the way it is. And these leaders like Mitch McConnell who think it's a passing fad, oh, it'll pass. No. The other side is playing for keeps, and the old man just doesn't get it. I'm sorry, he just doesn't get it. Dade Phelan, I wish he did. I wish he were smart enough. Hell, he comes from a rich family. I wish he could have bought a perspective, a worldwide perspective. Charlie Guerin is probably one of the original plastic banana good time rock and rollers. One of the originals. Hey, I get to government so I can grease my palms and make sure that my pockets are padded. You know, I'll leave it up to the grown-ups on the federal level to protect my rights. And Charlie Guerin tunes out, to which I say, screw you, Charlie Guerin. And screw you, John Cornyn. Now, I will admit to you, I have been struggling on how to process all of this. Now, you can either get down in the mouth or you can go down fighting. And I think that's kind of what we do here on the Salcedo Show, kind of go down fighting. That's our MO, our modus operandi. But anywho, that's a question I guess I put out to you. Where are you today? I give you the information. How many of you actually take that extra step and actually act on that information? Just ballpark it for me. I can tell you the other side, the left, whether they be in the minority, whether they be in the majority, they're always fighting to tear down America. Can we say the same about the Republicans? And how many of the Republicans have cashed in, say, you know what? Might as well go down with a lot of money. I'll be right back. The Chris Salcedo Show on the Voice of Texas and TNT Radio.
Hey, I got news for you.
TNT Radio News.
It's about time.
Matt Boylan here with a look at your TNT headlines. A world-renowned cardiologist who helped the British government sell the COVID-19 vaccine now says it should never have been approved for humans. Florida has been rocked by a Memorial Day mass shooting after a gunfight erupted on a Hollywood beach packed with families. And the Premier of Western Australia, known as the nation's pandemic premier, has quit his post in a shock announcement that stunned the political landscape down under.
Thanks for listening to us. Now we want to listen to you. Our lines are open from the U.S. and Canada. Call 1-888-201-6425. From the U.K., call 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-3100. Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Physical abuse, it's a gradual thing. It starts with a push, it starts with a slap, it starts with that look. And then it just gets worse and worse.
You can't underestimate the impact of a woman being listened to and say, I hear you. This is unacceptable. What you're experiencing, and it can be the first step to rebuild their lives following domestic abuse. For any woman who is considering calling the National Domestic Abuse Helpline, we are completely confidential. Please do give us a call. We are here for you any time of the day or night, and you are not alone.
Phone our free 24-hour helpline on 0808 200247 or visit refuge.org.uk. A message brought to you by TNT Radio.
In times of fear, World Vision has been there for the most vulnerable. For the last 70 years, we've stood with kids and families during some of the world's hardest times. Through natural disasters, war, and disease, delivering life-saving aid and support, helping rebuild lives, and empowering entire communities to lift themselves out of poverty. And we're doing the same today. because rising to these challenges is in our DNA. And with every act of courage, faith, and love, at home and abroad, we do more than just stop the spread of fear. We replace it with hope. Learn more at worldvision.org.
This is the Chris Salcedo Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, kids, glad you made it back. Telephone number is 281-558-5738. 281-558-KSEV. You got it. You got your, I don't want to say rhinos because Republican doesn't mean anything anymore. That's what I've been trying to tell everybody. We all know what Democrat means. I mean, socialist, communist, collectivist, depravity, complete absolute government power. We know what Democrat means. We don't know what Republican means anymore, and they sure as hell don't. The people who call themselves Republicans don't know what it means. Now, there are some who live up to the professed Republican planks. Ted Cruz, Jim Jordan, others. We're going to talk to Matt Rinaldi, the chairman of the Republican Party of Texas. We're talking to him. He knows what it means to be a Republican because it says so. This is what we Republicans are supposed to believe in. Charlie Guerin doesn't act like a Republican. Mitch McConnell doesn't act like a Republican. They act like Democrat ass kissers. That's what they act like. And so when I was getting into that debate with Jenna, you guys could hear the frustration in my voice. It's like, we accept. See, Joe Biden wanted to drive us into the economic ditch, and we just stopped from driving into the economic ditch, and we just kind of tapped the brakes a little bit before we hit the ditch. And let's call it a victory. A victory. No, we needed to turn the steering wheel. We needed to turn it. We needed to use the power while we've got it. Folks, do you want, and because they don't get it. The Republicans just don't get it. You've given us nothing to hope for. You've given us nothing. You've given us nothing to say, wow, you Republicans are doing a great job. There's the Democrat side. They are destroying America left and right, and their people love it. Their people love it. From the LGBTQ, ABCDFG cultural Marxism you're seeing to the Dylan Mulvaney stuff, their side just digs it. They love destruction. The introduction of communism and the loss of your rights. Trust me, folks, these people get up every day trying to figure out how to tell you what to do. And Republicans used to stand against that collectively. Jenna said this, and I, because we were running out of time, I couldn't quite get there. But when she said, we have a Republican side that isn't united, that we've got people that, you know, go their own ways, you know, they're independent minded, fine. That can also be a strength. But there should be one thing that they should all be unified against, and that's communism and socialism, and they are not against it, whether it be economic or cultural. Economic or cultural. Because the cultural Marxism that is plaguing this nation is undercutting everything. And I'm sorry to say that Charlie Guerin's of the world who's stupid to figure it out. Because what do they care? They got their money. To hell with the rest of you. 281-558-5738. 281-558-KSEV. As I said, Matt Rinaldi coming up. But I just want to know where you guys are. Do you consider yourself a Republican? I'm a conservative. I am as far above them ideologically as they are above Democrats and socialists. Which is to say, not very far on their side. James, I'm glad you waited. Welcome to the Chris Salcedo Show, the voice of Texas and TNT Radio. What do you say? Yellow James.
And you're right. She's totally off base.
Who
the
is?
The House left us hanging.
Oh.
When the House up, well, let's put it this way, the federal House left us hanging. We got hung on both sides. I'm not going to lie. We got hung down here in Texas, and we got hung up there in D.C.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous what's going on. I'm furious. I'm so mad right now. It's hard for me to speak. I apologize. But I'm furious. I've been on my email all morning writing my senators, writing my representatives, telling them how mad I am as a property owner and as a Texan and as a United States citizen, how we just got hung out to dry because they don't have the intestinal fortitude, let's put it that way.
The cojones.
And say, yeah, thank you, the cojones, to stand up and say, no more, no mas, we're not taking it anymore. We're going to stand our ground. We're going to say no to this. And if it means that, oh, well, we have to shut this government down for a couple of days while you guys figure out which way is up, so be it. You're not going to kill anybody doing it.
And you know,
go ahead.
You wouldn't shut down the government. That's the whole thing. You wouldn't shut down the government. You would actually just have to prioritize spending, which is what these children should be doing anyway. You would only be able to spend the money you brought in through taxes. And that's the way it ought to be. And that's what Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan and the Bushies don't really. Oh, it's just so hard to tell my Democrat friends no. They're going to whine and they're going to stomp their feet and they're going to insist that we mortgage our great-grandchildren's future.
Absolutely.
And I do so love my Democrat friends.
Well, you
I'm
see,
sorry.
That all began in the Bush era. When the Bushes became, they brought in the uniparty, as far as I'm concerned. Reagan was the last real Republican we had. After Reagan, well, I have to say that because I served under him, but still, after Reagan, we went downhill. I actually went Democrat for a while, and then I saw that that was a mistake, and I went conservative, straight conservative. I don't care about Republican. I don't care about Democrat. All I care about is the conservative, minimal government. That's what conservative means. They've crossed up the name conservative with this religious, you can't do anything type of attitude, when actually all it means is, we don't need Big Brother in our lives. We can handle it.
Well, I'm right there with you. And you know, as it comes to political party, I would vote for Harold Dutton, a man who puts children first, over Charlie Guerin. Charlie Guerin claims to be a Republican. Harold Dutton claims to be a Democrat. Doesn't matter. It's the policies now that matter to me. I am not invested in the two-party illusion anymore. And that's exactly what it is. I don't want to play the game anymore, and I don't think you ought to either. Thanks for the call, James. Great, great one. Steve, glad you waited. Welcome to the Salcedo Show. What's on your mind this fine Tuesday?
It is a beautiful day in Houston, Brother Chris. So let's talk about how we were dumped in the Greeks. Can you hear me?
I can. Maybe come off speaker for me if you could.
Yeah, getting a bit of feedback.
Yeah, there's been an echo, something going on the line the last couple of days. Russell's been trying to track it down with our engineers, but we're trying to figure out where that's all coming from. But go ahead and come off the speakerphone and then give me your two cents.
Okay, so can you hear me better now?
Yes, much better.
Excellent. So we're talking about being dumped in the Greece by Austin and by D.C., but I think the problem goes back before that, because we have to look at people under 50. We have to look at people who, from the time they were in diapers, have been raised in a world that never expected them to become adults, and they're not. They're a bunch of unstable, solipsistic retards brought up in safe spaces, suckled at the teat of victimhood. They cut their teeth on false science, fake history, feel-good puffery, and everyone gets a trophy.
Well, how do you... wait a minute. Now, I agree with you generally in what you're saying, and I think Gen Z and the millennial generation that have been under the tender socialist mercies of GovEd, I think you're right. GovEd has been indoctrinating two complete generations of anti-Americans, and we see the results.
Right.
And which, by the way, that means there's also no excuse for the likes of Charlie Guerin and 22 other Republicans voting for this system that is actually destroying this nation. But how do you explain, just give me this, how do you explain Joe Biden, who's older than dirt, who sits on his lily white wrinkled ass for 90 days, does nothing, no work at all toward the debt ceiling. And then when he brings the country right up to the edge of hitting the debt ceiling, Kevin McCarthy says, there, Joe Biden. Let us Republicans take care of it. We'll give in and we'll sit right there at your unacceptable level of spending. And then we'll even give you an increase in year two. When Republicans are rewarding 80-year-old children, how do you explain that?
Well, here's the problem, right? Let me put it this way. My name's Joe McCarthy. You thought I was blowing smoke up your butt about the federal government, right? And he was wrong about nothing, right? These people haven't the foggiest clue. What? And I'm talking about young people. And I'm let me speak directly to Die Whitey, all right, and the Nazis. And if you go online, I think most of them are Fedsies. Not actually Nazis.
Okay.
They're fancy said, right? But if you listen to these young people, and I'm talking about people 50 and under, they don't have the foggiest clue what the difference between a free market and corporatism are. They don't realize that capital has always existed. The only thing our system did was change who the players are. Everyone, as opposed to just a few. And well, they've been fighting ever since. So if they don't understand that, right?
We failed, Steve. Steve, we failed them. See, that Gen Z and the millennial generation, I being Gen X, I think you're borderline Gen X boomer. I'm not sure. But we failed them. We are the ones that allowed government to educate them, thinking that... And basically tuning out. We are, if you're looking for somebody to blame, don't blame the kids. The people to blame, look in the mirror. We are they. We neglected to bring up a generation that loved this country and recognized the stakes. And it's because of Republicans like Charlie Guerin and 22 other Republicans who were willing to keep us. By the way, Steve, there is a high school in Texas where only five seniors met graduation requirements. And Charlie Guerin says, hell yeah, I want to keep that system going. Because Charlie Guerin is a transactional, pad my own pockets, I don't give a damn about everybody else's kids, just keep the money flowing from GovEd into my pocket, just like Dan Huberty was. And the adults are the ones that failed the children. We can't blame the kids. All they've known is cultural Marxism. All they've known is socialism and communism because we allowed it. And we financed it. We paid for it. And we allowed shrubs like Charlie Guerin and 22 so-called Republicans to team up with socialists to do that. You want to blame somebody? You want to go after somebody? Go after Guerin. Go after all of these shrubs who prioritize making money over our children. 281-558-5738. Boy, wow, the phone lines are lighting up now. 281-558-KSEV. Your call's next on the Voice of Texas and TNT Radio.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
I know it's early. The 2024 presidential election is still over 17 months away, but poll after poll shows that President Joe Biden is in deep trouble. The latest CNN poll says 66% of Americans view a Biden win in 2024 as either a disaster or a setback for the United States. And in the latest Fox News poll, 79% of Americans said Biden's policies are either hurting them or making no difference, while 83% say the economy is just fair or poor, which led Forbes media chairman Steve Forbes to make this prediction on Fox.
Next year, Joe Biden will not be the Democratic Party nominee.
Whoa. You're on record.
On record. Because the economy, yeah, they can sweep the Hunter stuff away, but that has a stench out there. So you have a poor economy, you have a president people feel is not up to the job anymore, certainly not for the next 4 years. So I don't know what the scenario is going to be, but they cannot have him running in November of 2024. Okay, well,
the more I see the numbers and watch Biden, the more I agree with Forbes and others who say the same. K Can you say Gavin Newsom? Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
Ukrainian President Zelensky is among five people named as recipients of the John F. Kennedy Profile in Courage Award for acting to protect democracy. President Zelensky was chosen because he has marshaled the spirit, patriotism, and untiring sacrifice of the Ukrainian people in a life-or-death fight for their country. The John F. Kennedy Library Foundation said, in response, journalist Gonzalo Lira asked, "So when you shut down opposition news channels, persecute journalists critical of you, imprison your political opponents, and in some cases have them murdered, that's defending democracy?"
Chris Salcedo on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, I've got Matt Rinaldi coming up, the conservative chairman of the Republican Party of Texas, who has done, in my estimation, a bang-up job and hasn't been shy about saying to so-called Republicans, you're not behaving like a Republican. And I think we need more of that, to be quite frank. Let me get out to more of your phone calls, I should say. Diane, I appreciate you waiting. Welcome to the Chris Salcedo Show. What do you say?
Good morning, Chris, and thank you for this wonderful show. One of the reasons I like it is because you call out the communists for what they are and who they are. And I think it's a very important thing. According to our Constitution, wouldn't communism actually be illegal here in the United States?
No.
It wouldn't?
Yeah.
Really?
And by the way, do me a favor, Diane. Can you come off the speakerphone? Because I think that's why we're getting some of the echoes down the line. But let me tell you. Yes, it is much better. You know, I think what people have to understand is we live in a free, well, we used to live in a free society. And so under freedom of speech, you're allowed to be a communist here. But what's retreated is people like me and people like you who say, hey, you're a communist. I don't believe in what you're selling, and I don't want to give you power and the government power over me. That's what's lost. We used to be strong enough because we recognize the stakes. But again, because of the aforementioned GovEd, we've got kids being raised to think, hey, communism's great. Or they call it equity. Or slavery is great, and they call it equity. So that's where the problem is. You understand? Does it make sense? Oh, all right. Thank you, Russell. I thought I would continue the conversation, but I've been told to move on. Diane, thank you very much for the phone call. You're absolutely right. I mean, I think we should set some parameters. If we're able to save the country this time, I think we ought to do our best to make sure that we put roadblocks in the way of those who sought to destroy her. Stephen, glad you called the Chris Salcedo Show, the voice of Texas and TNT Radio.
Hey, good morning, Chris.
What's going on, man?
I wanted to comment, by the way, I am a Texan. I moved to Florida back 13 years ago to help my mom out here. But I wanted to say this. My heart's still in Texas. And I saw this whole situation about Ken Paxton. And I want to say, first of all, where is the governor, Abbott, on this whole thing? Oh, he's MIA, just like he is on the border, which is, of course, non-existent now. And the thing is, all you got to do is look at what Paxton's been fighting for. He's fighting against big tech and all their lies that they've been pushing, going back to, you know, at least Trump and all that junk. Okay, and then also, of course, big pharma and pushing the scamdemic and their COVID death shot and killing millions, including a lot of children. And then, of course, along those lines, the LGBTQP movement with their Satanist pedophile garbage. He's been fighting against all of these. And so these people who are running these things, working with Biden and Obama behind the scenes, do not want people like Paxton in there because they are a major roadblock to their agenda. And so I want to say, you know, I'm glad to see President Trump and Donald Jr. and Vernon Jones and Ted Cruz speaking out in favor of him. But the thing I want to say is that, you know, as long as we've got these scumbags in office running things, we're not going to get the things done that need to be done. And so that means, as a friend of mine in church said, until people take the initiative and stand up and act and stop just talking, We're going to see more and more and more of this, and this country's being destroyed because basically, like you were saying, we've sat back and done nothing about it, and we can't blame the Gen Z, you know, all these people you're talking about. It's us. I'd say going all the way back to the World War II generation where we got complacent with the victory we had there, and we became powerful and prosperous just like Rome did, and we're imploding from within, and now our enemies are taking over.
Yeah, you know, the greatest generation was the pinnacle. But it was the baby boom generation that sent us on this path, taking the spoils of winning a victory over totalitarianism and then turning us into this. The 1960s, I think, was, historians will look back as the beginning of the fall of the United States of America, when the Marxists got their infiltration. By the way, you asked what Governor Abbott is doing. The Texas State Legislature will reconvene one day after it adjourned, as Governor Greg Abbott issued his special session call to tackle property tax reform and border security legislation. I'm disappointed that school choice isn't on this list. I have a message into the governor's office to ask if that is forthcoming. But as one of the failures of the Texas legislature was to get the Texas Senate did its job. The Texas Senate passed conservative priorities. The Texas House, with deference to socialists, didn't. So Governor Abbott has put them back into session. Guess what? No summer vacations for you folks in the Texas House. And I pray that Governor Abbott keeps them in session until they tackle border security, until they tackle property taxes, getting us some of that $32 billion in surplus back to we the people where it belongs. Just FYI. Like I said, little disappointed that we didn't see school choice reform on there. I'm going to be paying a phone call to the governor's office, maybe in the next break. Robert, glad you waited. Welcome to the Chris Salcedo Show, the voice of Texas and TNT Radio. What say you?
Thank you, Chris. I had called you. I've called you a time or two, but before the election, I said there's going to be no great panacea if Republicans move forward, get a few more votes, and here it is, deja vu. And you and I both agree that McCarthy was part of the problem.
Well, I said, let's give McCarthy a chance. And right up until this deal, I got to tell you, it was looking promising. But now I am hedging my optimism. Let's put it that way.
Well, thank you. And I just wanted to call you back, say I told you so. I'll listen on the air now. Thank you so much, Chris.
Thank you, pal. Hey, I will always take an I told you so call. You know, I'm not always going to get it right. Why do you think we call it a talk show? Why do you think we open up the phone lines to so many differing perspectives, even the libs? You know, Russell, I got an email from Dale yesterday. Who is a left-wing caller who said he called in around a quarter till we were leaving. So I'm not sure. I can't remember exactly how things unfolded yesterday, but he said he couldn't get through. He was on hold and he got disconnected. So I'm not sure what that was all about. But you've got left-wingers whose ideas are entertained and addressed right here. We actually have a debate on this show, which is more than I can say in the Texas House, because it's all Democrat all the time in the Texas House under the current left-wing leadership. It's all Democrat all the time even when the Republicans controlled the Senate. When Paul Ryan controlled the House of Representatives, it was all Democrats all the time. Why? To take out President Trump. So I'm a little sick and tired, more than sick and tired, of seeing the other side having its champions, the Democrats. Hey, give them credit. They see the brass ring and they're going for it. The brass ring for them is the destruction of the United States of America. When does our side unite to oppose those kinds of things? That's my question. When do we do this? And if we don't, I think we're going to lose it all. Am I wrong here? Now, if the Republican Party isn't up to the task, which It's a divided party right now. I think there's no question about that. It doesn't have an identity. If it's not up to the task, let's find a party that will oppose the Democrats. Because I can tell you definitively, in an actual two-party system, you actually have two parties that are actually at loggerheads. And they go out there and they debate and they present their ideas and try to persuade we the people. But that doesn't happen anymore. They just go behind locked doors and they work out deals and say, this is what you've got. And that crap has got to stop. Matt Rinaldi next on The Voice of Texas.